Welcome to Audit IQ Update for July 15th, 2026. I'm your host, Alex, and as always, we'll be delving into the world of monitoring for e-commerce merchants, covering every aspect from technical, operational, to sales, and more. Let's get into it. We've got a packed week to cover with some genuinely significant developments across the e-commerce technology landscape. I want to start with a story that connects security, performance, and the evolving responsibilities of e-commerce teams, because that intersection is really where the most interesting things are happening right now. Cloudflare made a notable move recently by opening up its advanced client-side security tools to all users, not just enterprise customers. Now, the headline feature here is what they're calling a cascading AI detection system. Essentially, Cloudflare's PageShield now uses LLM-assisted analysis to scan the third-party scripts running on your pages, detect potentially malicious code injections, and, this is the key improvement, dramatically reduce false positives while doing so. Previously, this level of client-side script monitoring was locked behind enterprise pricing. Now it's available on lower-tier plans, which means smaller merchants can benefit. Why does this matter for our audience? Well, digital skimming continues to evolve in alarming ways. Sansec, the e-commerce security research firm, recently published research on a new breed of skimmer that uses WebRTC data channels to exfiltrate stolen payment information. Think about that for a moment. Instead of sending stolen card data through regular HTTP requests that network-level security tools might catch, these skimmers use peer-to-peer WebRTC connections to smuggle data out. It's sophisticated, it's evasive, and it's a reminder that the threat landscape for e-commerce isn't standing still. So Cloudflare democratizing client-side security is genuinely good news. Every e-commerce merchant should be paying attention to what scripts are running on their checkout pages. But, and this is a point I want to develop throughout today's episode, security monitoring and experience monitoring are two different things, and you really need both. Speaking of experience, let's talk about Shopify, because there's been a flurry of activity on their platform this week. The big headline is the launch of duties-inclusive pricing for Shopify Managed Markets, which went live on July 10th. This is a feature that lets merchants automatically include duties, import taxes, and cross-border fees directly in the product price that international buyers see. Instead of a customer in Germany adding a product to their cart at one price and then getting hit with an extra 20% in duties and fees at checkout, they see the all-in price from the start. Now, if you follow cart abandonment research, you know why this matters enormously. The latest Baymard Institute data shows that extra costs at checkout remain the number one reason shoppers abandon their carts at 39%. And for cross-border purchases, the surprise factor is even more acute. Unexpected import duties are essentially the worst version of unexpected costs, because the customer often has no idea how much they'll be until the very end of the checkout process. So Shopify baking duties into the displayed price should, in theory, significantly reduce abandonment for international orders. It's a smart move. But here's the monitoring angle that I think a lot of teams will miss. This feature introduces new price calculation logic that runs across every product, in every supported international market, in every currency. That's a lot of surface area for things to go slightly wrong. A rounding error in one currency. A tax calculation that doesn't account for a specific product category exemption. A display glitch where the duties-inclusive price and the original price appear simultaneously. These are the kinds of subtle issues that real user monitoring catches and synthetic testing misses. Shopify also shipped several other notable updates this week. On July 8th, they pushed a proactive security update to the Shopify mobile app on Android. All merchants are being prompted to update. On July 7th, POS got an updated connectivity screen that shows internet, Shopify service, and hardware health at a glance, with clear messaging about what features work offline and what don't. And on the developer side, July 9th brought identity verification requirements for Shopify partners, which is about building trust in the ecosystem, but also represents a process change that developers need to adapt to. On the API front, there are some important deprecations to flag. The Customer Account API is removing the Customer Last Incomplete Checkout field and the related checkout type subtree in version 2026.10. If your store or your apps rely on that data, you've got a few months to migrate. And POS UI extensions in the 2026.07 release now require per-unit fixed amount line item discounts. The auto-conversion from total to per-unit is gone. These might sound like small changes, but anytime you modify how discounts calculate or how checkout data flows, there's potential for customer-facing bugs. Let me shift gears now and talk about something that I think is one of the most important data points of 2026 for anyone in e-commerce technology. The May 2026 Chrome User Experience Report data shows that only 55.9% of web origins pass all three core web vitals. Let that sink in. After years of Google pushing these metrics, after INP replaced first input delay, after countless conference talks and blog posts and tool releases, nearly half of the web still doesn't meet the threshold for good user experience, as Google defines it. For e-commerce sites specifically, the implications are both a challenge and an opportunity. Research from multiple sources now converges on a striking figure, a 100 millisecond improvement in mobile sites speed lifts retail conversion rates by up to 8.4%. That's not a typo. A tenth of a second, and you get nearly a 10% conversion lift. Conversely, a 1 second delay reduces conversions by about 7%. The reason so many sites still struggle comes down to INP. Interaction to next paint. This metric measures the latency of all interactions throughout a page visit, not just the first one. For e-commerce sites loaded with third-party scripts, analytics, personalization, A/B testing, chatbots, review widgets, loyalty programs, every one of those scripts competes for main thread time. And when a customer clicks Add to cart and nothing happens for 350 milliseconds because some third-party script is hogging the thread, that's a failing INP score. The 200 millisecond threshold for good INP is demanding, and it's where most e-commerce sites fall down. This connects to a broader point about how performance monitoring works in practice. Most teams I talk to run periodic lighthouse audits. They check their page speed insights score during development. Maybe they run a synthetic monitoring tool that pings their homepage every few hours, and they think they've got performance covered. But here's the gap. Those tools test from a clean browser on a standard device profile from a limited set of locations at a single point in time. They don't capture what your real customers experience. The shopper on an older Android phone, on a congested mobile network with six browser tabs open, accessing your site from a market where your CDN edge is 200 milliseconds further away. That customer's experience can be radically different from what your Lighthouse score suggests. And that customer is deciding right now whether to buy from you or go somewhere else. The cart abandonment numbers underscore this urgency. Statista's latest data puts the global cart abandonment rate at 70.22% in 2026, an increase of more than 10 percentage points from recent years. While the top reason remains unexpected costs, technical friction runs throughout the abandonment data. 13% report site crashes. 17% say the checkout process was too complicated, and a meaningful cohort simply leaves when things feel slow or unresponsive. Let me loop in the Magento side of things here. Magento Open Source 2.4.9, which reached general availability back on May 12th, remains a major story for the Magento community. This is not a routine update. Adobe has replaced core framework components, added PHP 8.5 support, shipped over 500 bug fixes, and dropped support for older PHP and database versions. The new release also swaps TinyMCE for huge RTE as the content editor and introduces Valky as an alternative to Redis for caching. For stores that have already upgraded or are in the process of upgrading, performance monitoring in production is critical. Lab testing before deployment can only validate known scenarios. The real test is what happens when your actual traffic, with its unique patterns and edge cases, hits the new code. A regression in how product pages render on specific browsers, a subtle change in how database queries perform under load, a JavaScript error introduced by a third-party extension that hasn't been updated for 2.4.9 compatibility. These are the things that real user monitoring catches. I also want to highlight a development from the web standards world that has interesting implications for e-commerce front-end teams. CSS Tricks covered the upcoming CSS border shape property in their July 7th article. Now, you might think a CSS property is pretty far removed from e-commerce monitoring, but stay with me. The trend in modern CSS, border shape, scroll-driven animations, the new shape function, container queries, is towards more visual complexity being handled by CSS rather than JavaScript. That's a performance win. Every visual effect that moves from JavaScript to CSS frees up main thread time, which directly helps INP scores. E-commerce front-end developers who embrace these modern CSS capabilities can deliver richer product pages and more engaging visual experiences without the performance tax that JavaScript-heavy approaches incur. On a related note, there's also the shifting line between CSS states and JavaScript events, which was another piece CSS Tricks published at the end of June. The core insight is that CSS pseudo classes are increasingly handling interaction states that previously required JavaScript event listeners. For e-commerce UI components, hover states on product cards, focus states on form fields, active states on filters, this shift means less JavaScript executing on the main thread during user interactions. It's a small change in how you build things that compounds across an entire page. Or looking at the broader competitive landscape in e-commerce monitoring, and I'll be general here rather than naming names, there's an interesting trend emerging. The general purpose monitoring tools are adding e-commerce specific features, while the e-commerce specific tools are trying to broaden their scope. You're seeing application performance monitoring platforms add retail dashboards, error tracking tools, add session replay, and digital experience platforms add revenue attribution. The market is converging, which is both validation that e-commerce monitoring is a real and distinct need, and also a signal that generic solutions trying to serve everyone risk serving no one particularly well. The monitoring tools that will win in this space are the ones that understand the specific workflows of e-commerce teams. Not just that there was a JavaScript error, but that the error occurred on the checkout payment step and affected an estimated 400 sessions, generating roughly $12,000 in potential revenue. Not just that INP degraded, but that it degraded specifically after the deployment of a new product recommendation widget, and the impact is concentrated on mobile devices in the UK market. That kind of contextual revenue-connected insight is what separates monitoring from intelligence. Before I wrap up, I want to touch on one more thing from Practical E-commerce this week. Their new e-commerce tools roundup for July 7th highlighted the acceleration of agentic commerce. AI agents that can discover products, compare options, and even initiate purchases on behalf of consumers. This is still early days, but it raises a fascinating monitoring question. How do you ensure your site works correctly, not just for human customers browsing in a web browser, but for AI agents parsing your product data and interacting with your checkout APIs? The stores that aren't monitoring their product feeds, their structured data, and their API response quality are going to struggle as agentic commerce grows. It's a new surface area that needs visibility. And from Smashing Magazine, their recent articles on freeform visual builders and the evolution of WordPress development have implications for any e-commerce team using content-driven storefronts. The move toward more flexible, component-based page building means more client-side rendering, which means, you guessed it, more potential for performance issues and more need for real user monitoring. So to summarize this week, client-side security is becoming more accessible, which is great. Shopify is pushing hard on international commerce and platform evolution, which creates both opportunity and monitoring surface area. Core Web Vitals remain a significant challenge for most of the web, with clear revenue implications for e-commerce. and the tools and techniques for building fast, engaging storefronts continue to evolve in ways that demand continuous, real user-level monitoring to verify that they're actually delivering the experience your customers deserve. That's your Audit IQ update for July 15th, 2026. If any of this sparked a question or you want to learn more about e-commerce monitoring, you can find us at auditiq.cloud. We'll be back next week. Until then, keep monitoring.